Hello, this is the Wizard's Respite Sanctorum, the show where we discuss all things TTRPG. As always, I'm here with Zachariah from Old Man Gaming, and today we're doing something a little bit extra TTRPG, extra special. We've been kind of dancing around this one for a minute. We're going to be doing the great D&D debates.
Mortal Kombat!
Before we jump into that, though, I kind of wanted to give a little bit of background on this. So we've been talking. Zach is not the biggest D&D fan in the world. I think that might be putting it lightly. I am a big D&D fan. We're both TTRPG fans, so we're going to be kind of going back and forth on our points for our case here. I want to put it out there, though there are plenty of trolls in the world, Zach and I are both adults. We can disagree with each other's points of view and still be buds, okay? This debate can sometimes get heated, but it doesn't have to be. It's just a game. Yes. I also say that we both have like certain concessions that we've made in the past, like on the show. We've alluded to this in the past, but we both have said like things in the past that we agree with the other person's point of view to some degree about.
Yeah.
Would you say that's right, Zach?
Yeah, and I would like to make a quick disclaimer for my own part. Since this is going to be the great D&D debate, I'm going to be going pretty hard on the negative. But I do want to say, man, whatever floats your boat in the world of TTRPG is what floats your boat. Like, play what you like. If D&D is something you like and you love, play it, man. And give me a big middle finger. I'm totally okay with that. I would much rather you play role-playing games and, you know, do like enjoy a role-playing game that you want to enjoy, then be like, well, Zach said it's a crappy game, so I'm not going to play it anymore. Like, don't listen to me. We're just idiots on the internet talking. So, like, just exactly. Do like, I want to make that very clear. I'm all for people having fun and people playing role-playing games. That's what I'm all for. And if D&D gets you there, I'm happy about that. But we are doing a very specific show where I'm going to be pointing out all the reasons I don't like or play D&D.
Right. And to that same point, I'm going to be promoting D&D. I'm going to be talking about it. I really love the game. Yes, I love the system. But at the same time, you know, I do have my personal critiques of the system. My biggest one has always been the tagline that is often thrown around, the greatest TTRPG that's ever been. It's not. There's no such thing as the greatest TTRPG that's ever been. It is maybe the greatest for you. It's the greatest for some.
Right.
But it's so subjective.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm going to be kind of focusing on. But also things that I think make the system really solid. So I'll be hammering out that other side of the debate.
Yes, it should be very, very interesting. But yeah, I'm definitely on the negative side here. So I just want everybody to keep in mind, I'm a relatively positive guy.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. We've been talking about this for a minute. So to get started, we're thinking about doing we're going to roll for initiative. We have a high roll starts the debate, pleads their case to the to the interwebs first. Ooh, and I got perfectly average at 11.
Since I am, my dice are across the room. I'm just gonna use a dice roller on my phone. Show you guys right now. I'm gonna hit the button. Boop. I got a 4. The positive has it.
All right. So, then one of the other things I did want to like just touch on real quick, as far as like the intro of this is, D&D has a lot of different versions.
Yes.
And they're almost entirely different games in many ways. So we'll probably be, I know just the way that we do this, we're going to be jumping back and forth between all the systems.
Yeah.
I think
I'm going to be trying to debate the fundamental ideals behind D&D, which I think kind of stay the same at the end of the day. So I'm going to be trying to look at that. Because, yeah, if you look at, like, old school advanced Dungeons & Dragons versus 5th edition or even 3rd edition, they're just completely different games. So,
Fourth edition is what nobody... We don't talk about 4th edition.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
We're just going to leave that... We're going to leave that out today. That doesn't count.
Well, you get to leave us off there, Positive. What's so great about it?
All right. So, let's talk about the principles first. One thing that is not for everybody, but that I really liked about D&D from back in the day to up to today is that it does allow for very strategic thinking in combat. Now, this can be a downside for some because I know it can slow the game down. But on the other side of it, you know, if you have a map, you have all your rules, and depending on what stage of D&D and what version you're playing, you also have a very diverse party. I'll admit that that's been changing lately with the current 5th edition, and there could be some arguments to that same statement about how AD&D evolved into eventually, but... Initially, the first, you know, iterations of these games allowed for very diverse parties that needed to work together and strategize to some degree. Think about what they're going for. And it's a role-playing game, but it also offers this ability to plan and strategize. And that's one of the things I really liked about the game.
Okay. So am I just doing counterpoint on what you've said?
Let's just roll with it.
Okay. All right, because it's almost an advantage for me to go second. so how about I go second? I go second, but then I kind of go to a different topic within the topic almost. So okay. Like I could do counterpoint on yours and then start with something else so that you can counterpoint me a little bit. Just because I don't think if I go second every time, I'm just gonna sit here and think about ways to like. That's all I'm gonna do. Yeah, that's all I'm gonna do. And the first
strategize ways that, somewhat.
The first ways that you're wrong is the strategic thinking. I think it's much more strategic to have to think about your character as a solo character first, and then instead of thinking about a party. That's one thing I don't like about D&D, is it forces you into these party roles, to the point where, like, oh, if I'm alone, and I'm a wizard, and I've got to be in a melee fight, I'm dead. If I'm in some sort of magical battle, and I'm a barbarian, I'm fucking dead. Like, Jack of all trades is, and I know that that's become a little bit more prevalent in the later years, but jack-of-all-trades characters are a little bit harder to do, harder to go by. And I don't like... I feel that there is a lack of versatility in its essence right there, because I have to have a group. If I don't... I can't sit down with D&D and play one-on-one with one barbarian character. I mean, I can. I'm a decent game master, but I'm still engineering everything for a barbarian character. I can't necessarily put wild challenges in their face, because if I do, they're going to fail them. I can very clearly, as a game master, see the flaws of a character that is made for a party-based gameplay and exploit those flaws, especially if they're not in a party. And that's something that, and good game mastering, obviously you can make the debate that good game mastering, you don't want to do that. And I agree with that, but it also eats up the versatility of the stories I can create. I can't necessarily put your barbarian character into these weird magical situations without some sort of way out. That's a little irritating to me. That would be my counterpoint on that strategic kind of party-based thing. I think in essence, Mr. Gygax, back in the day, was finding a way for his friends to get together and play a game that they could pretend to be something else without necessarily the technology or anything like that. And I think in that essence, that's what this game presents. But I think in time, role-playing game has evolved past Dungeons & Dragons. It's been past Dungeons & Dragons for a long time, which is why I will go to my point, my leading point, which is... I don't think that Dungeons & Dragons is the greatest TTRPG ever. I know you've agreed with that, but I think that the only thing that... I think if Mr. Gygax sat down and he wrote up Fate Core, we'd be playing Fate Core. I think it's just the first. It's the first, and that's why it's the one that everybody remembers. It's the one that everybody knows. It's the first one, just like the first Spider-Man movie. It was the first successful Marvel superhero movie. It's one of the ones that we always look back on and remember. And I think that that's something that has to be said here. That, like, D&D has garnered this level of hype from the people who play it and the people who look on it, thanks to the fact of it being first. But also thanks to the fact that, you know, you have a resurgence of it. Focus on D&D, because anybody who tries to get into the TTRPG space who is not necessarily a nerd, quotation marks, the first thing they think is, how do we play this? Oh, D&D. And then they go buy the D&D books. They don't do any research into the TTRPG space, and they end up in this world of numbers and stats that is over the top, to be honest.
Okay, yeah, so to your rebuttal.
Okay.
I do see what you're saying as far as you really can't play D&D 101. I mean, you can, but like you said, you're kind of making it happen. It's not really designed for that. So from a design situation, that's not how it's going to work. And I do get that. That does make this system a little bit more restricted, which is kind of ironic for a system that's as big as it is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really have a good function beyond, you know, the party system.
Yeah.
Now that, and it doesn't focus as nearly as much on storytelling as other games do, like Fate, for instance, like what you just said. But I think that's really just a matter of, like, the mechanics for this game, and which is why it's not the best TTRPG. It's just a good TTRPG, because it's trying to do what it's doing what it's trying to do. It's trying to accomplish, you know, a synergy based party system, and really double down on that. It doesn't have a lot of flexibility outside of that. It does have limitations when it comes to storytelling, because that synergy and the heavy tactical aspects of the combat system, and how much emphasis is on the combat system, does draw you out of the storytelling. It does slow down the game when you do play it that way. But I think that's just kind of like how this game is meant to be played. Whereas, like, a game like Fate is way less strategic. And its core functions, and way more focused on storytelling. I don't really think there's anything either wrong with either game style. I just think it's different. I think what I normally criticize about games most is if they set out to do something, but they're not really doing it. They're not really accomplishing that structure that they're going for. And then to your second point, you're right. Like, if Gygax wrote Fate first, or any of the other classic games, that's what we'd be playing today. If Palladium, like, worked their magic a little harder back in the 80s, had a better branding, and was able to really roll with it, we might be talking about Palladium right now. And the OGL made a big difference. Or White Wolf. It is the oldest game, and I do think that legacy does detract from the hobby to a certain degree. Like you're saying, people know D&D. They jump into D&D, and D&D is not for everybody. It's not an intro. If this was any other hobby, it wouldn't be the introduction game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This isn't how you convince the first guy to jump into a new hobby. You get him going on something a little bit easier. But this isn't any other hobby, and D&D's just got the monolith name. So I do have to concede that one quite a bit. I don't think D&D being as popular as it is as good for the hobby as it should be.
It is so hard to not jump in this. And, like, I'm trying to let the, you know what I mean? And, like, my brain just wants to go, no! Like, it's so hard to not jump in. It's so hard to not jump in.
I hear you. I hear you.
Okay, so whose turn is it right now? Did we do it?
I think it's your turn.
Is it my turn? Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, I do kind of want to counter your counter your counter, which is the whole party-based system. Yes. D&D is very clearly, hey, we're doing a party-based system, a party-based game. However, I think that in itself speaks to how bad it is. And hear me out here. If I play Fate, okay, and I know I keep using Fate, but I'm going to use another example very soon. If I play Fate, right, it's a role-play-heavy game. Role-play-heavy game, definitely. But it is a relatively simple system to understand. And it is a simple understand a system that lends itself to party play and also lends itself to solo play and lends itself to any system in between. Now, let's go back to D&D. D&D is one of the most complex systems of numbers that has ever been assembled. And even lately, when they've kind of refined the rules and made them a little bit more simpler to understand, they're huge books. I mean, to play the game, you have to have two. You have to buy two off the handbook. You know, you have to buy two right off the bat to get all the rules. Like, it's a very complex game for it to do one thing, one style of game correctly. Like, only one. Let's look at White Wolf, all right? New example, White Wolf. And I'm still on the same point. But White Wolf, I'm going to say this right now, and pitchforks, I'm sure, will raise, but White Wolf books are written terribly. They're awful. They hide their rules in lore, and I'm in a White Wolf group right now, and I'm having a lot of fun with it, but making characters and reading rules is a nightmare unholy, because it is so hard, because the rules are literally interwoven with the lore of the game, which makes it like, trying to get a system out of reading the Bible. It's insane. That being said, though, once you're done reading that incredibly convoluted book and that relatively complicated system, you can play any type of game with it. You can play a party-based game with it. You can play a solo-based game with it. You can play anything in between with it. D&D is the most amount of effort for a player coming into a role-playing game. The most amount of effort for the least amount of payoff that I think there is possibly on the market. I mean, of at least the big name stuff like that I can think of. It's ridiculous. It's not simple to understand, and it's not versatile in practice. Again, yes, can the stats be fun? Stats can always be fun. Anybody watching this show, yeah, you think stats are fun. We all think stats are fun when it comes to role-playing games. There's a funness to it. But just because the stats can be fun, you have to look at its practical applications. And I see almost no practical applications for the D&D system, with the exception of a party-based fantasy style. And yeah, I mean, yes, it does that thing really well, but at the same time, is it worth it to spend the hours reading, the hours making characters, to do that one thing perfect, whereas you could go to any other system and do the same thing that they're doing with less preparation, less time involved in the character creation, and still have fun with it?
Okay. I do, you're right, it is hard not jumping in.
It's so hard.
And I do see your point. Like that is a good point as far as, you know, like party system. Like there are other games that can accomplish a party system while still having the other aspects, like the heavy story telling system as another option, whereas D&D is really like doubling down on the party system. I would say, party system, but also it's also the strategy aspect of it. And the reason why I think the strategy is kind of important to this D&D, and I wouldn't say unique to D&D, but the heavy rule system does make you sort of put you in a box. Like, and now you have to think your way out of the box. You have to strategize out of the box. You have your tools. These are your tools that you can interact with the world with. And there's more tools, and there are more tools, and there are more tools. So there's 1,000 tools, but now you have to figure out how to puzzle them all together. And that's the strategy aspect of it, where you're sitting here. with like your group of adventurers, your buddies, and you're like, okay, we're going to raid this orc encampment. And look, we have to go in hot and strong. The wizard's throwing fireball. And now, as soon as that happens, we got to get the meat shields in there. We need to get our barbarian, our paladin. We have to like just go in hard. And that moment in time where you're sitting there is really strategizing. Like, okay, now you're gonna have to get to this angle because you're able to like get a better view, and you're an archer, so that's what you got to do, and all of that stuff. And then dive deeper, and then that one person's like, oh, I have this one spell! You know, those moments are really great with D&D because you have so many rules that you're kind of, like, shuffling through, like, how do I make this fit in our scenario? The end.
Okay, all right. I still... I don't know if you convinced me on that one, just because I think that... Yeah, I like the strategy. I will say, I think I concede at least a point to the build systems in D&D. While character creation is convoluted and long, it does allow for some insanely cool and interesting character-created like sets of powers and builds, you know? Just the one that, you know, friend of the show, Phil Billy, was telling me about with his, like, jump back and forth between his illusion and himself sort of character. And then he told me another one that was crazy with some guy who used cards to do stuff. And I think that, yeah, statistically, it does do the build systems and the abilities very well and interesting. And while I would give you that point, I still don't necessarily believe that in any way, shape, or form promotes good role-playing. The other thing is, too, and this is something I noticed from watching the actual plays, which is, you know, you'll have these guys, you know, and then you're in a battle, and everybody's thinking about where they're moving, and it turns into a board game. And I don't want to play a board game. I don't want to play a board game. I want to pretend to be somebody new. I want to pretend to be a character. I want to be in the theater of the mind. D&D does not lend itself well to the theater of the mind, nor does it lend itself well to that kind of thing. There's, I guess, because I'm not sure if I should be leaving or not, I will continue by saying one of the things I don't like about D&D is it overtly gamifies TTRPGs as a whole. And what I mean by that is when I play, I have the virtue of being the only person here, so I won't use this a lot, but I have one of the two of us, I play video games too, relatively religiously. Honestly, you are watching this on a channel that was started purely for video game videos, and now we do half and half because I love TTRPGs and I met Wizard. That being said, I have experience with video games. A video game is fun, and I like the stat stuff in the video game, the heavy stat stuff, maximizing my build, finding cool ways to do things in games. But I'm not playing a video game to, like, pretend to be somebody else. I feel like D&D almost has this way of making it more video game-like. It makes it more like, where is my piece moving? What stats do I have on my character? And the more you add that shit to the game, right? The more you throw that stuff in there, the less somebody is thinking about, but what would my character say? What would my character do? What would my character think? They're thinking, oh, I've got a +5 this with a 2.3 this, and then I can do this with, I can move 6 hexes and attack 3 times, but I could also take another swipe. And like, the minute you get into that shit, it takes you above the battle. You're not in it. You're above it. You're looking down on your character as a piece involved in this battle, and that's a board game.
That's a really good way of putting it, taking it above the battle and looking down on it. That I like how you phrased that. And first, like, to what you said, I mean, I don't think either one of us are going to actually convince the other person. I think we're just, like, basically shooting the shit on this one. But
I'm trying, though. I'm trying hard. If you come away from this like, I'm done with D&D, I'm like, I won.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, I have two tables right now that will probably hunt you down. We're in the middle of like two campaigns, and I think that they might be like, "Oh, but we're coming from
who did this to us? Who did this to us?" Me, the true villain of your game.
I do definitely see what you're saying as far as taking it out of the game, particularly for the combat. I do see that that can occur during the roleplay section. It does feel when it changes a little bit on your style of gameplay, your style of DM, because the combat scenario can definitely be boom, very much out of the middle of the mindset, out of the moment, and looking down at a game board. It can very much be like that. Whereas moments leading up to that, where it's more social interaction, you're dealing with NPCs, you're dealing with environmental factors, that kind of stuff, can still wrap you into the TTRPG aspect. It's almost like you got like two completely different systems. Like if, like on the video game aspect, you're just talking about that, like the classic like JRPG Final Fantasy games from like way back in the day.
Yeah.
When you got into a combat scenario, the screen changed, mm-hmm. and now you're in a lineup, right? Where you have like your it's a turn-based system where all of your characters will take turns fighting mm-hmm. on those classic Final Fantasy games. It's kind of like that. Like you'd be running around doing, you know, your TTRPG stuff, and then you get into a combat system, and screen changes. You're no longer in the moment. You are out of the moment, strategizing. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but yeah, it very much leans itself to that. It really does. And I think, you know, I did a couple of like, you know, Twitter surveys, and maps are definitely the more popular way to play. They're not the only way. There are diehard Theater of the Mind guys, but with all of the stats and needing to know like very specifics, like how far away you are and that kind of stuff, it definitely feels like it's less for that and more for stepping out and looking down at mm-hmm. your board. Even if it is Theater of the Mind, you're still kind of looking at your board.
Yeah.
Which for me, I enjoy. I enjoy having the TTRPG role-playing aspect and the sort of looking down and strategizing aspect. But I know that does also pull people out of the RPG moment, so it's not for them. If you really don't like that aspect, if you don't like getting yanked out of your storyline to go play a board game, this isn't for you.
There's a reason Baldur's Gate 3 is such a good game, and that is because D&D is a great video game. It's not the best TTRPG, though.
I can see the video game comparison that you made there. Hard, definitely. Definitely. But I still think like the there's a whole other aspect that you can like work with your TT, more social engagement. You have a whole set of soft skills almost, of like persuasion. Every character has. Some of them are better at it than others. Persuasion, deception, perception, insights. And then, you know, like other skills that aren't combat related, like athletics, acrobatics, and that kind of stuff. And if we're looking at AD&D, you also have proficiencies, which, you know, you get these proficiency points. And as you progress your character, you can choose to be good at different things. It typically makes sense for you to try and get some synergy in there. So a ranger maybe shouldn't be doing something that's like way outside of ranger comfort zone. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. I think you're going a little easy on me, but it does. I will say, I will ask you this question to go outside our format here. Can you think of one time, okay, and this is really the decider for me, because if you could think of one, and you can tell me one that convinces me a little bit better, can you think of one time that the system of D&D made somebody roleplay their character better? Like, it aided them in the roleplay in some way? Because I can think of plenty of times where White Wolf, my own system, Fate, just about all the systems out there have actually made me roleplay my character slightly different than I would have normally. So is there a time when D&D actually promoted a better roleplaying situation that you can think of? I want to hear.
That's a really good question. And my answer is yes.
Okay.
And this is how I would see that it rolls out. This is for... Okay, so I do think that various stages of the... So far, all of the additions get too bloated, and this becomes detracted to a certain degree. But I think at certain stages of the game, when you're playing primarily with the initial like sort of classes that you have, you do have limitations on what your character can do. So, and those limitations are very archetypal. That's very character driven, you know. So a rogue doesn't go swinging a battle axe for a reason. So when I can think of very certain situations where a character's like, crap, I'm in this situation. I can't do this, 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 and this because my class doesn't allow for that. My abilities scores don't allow for that. What would my character do? What would my rogue do? What would my paladin do? What kind of consequences would my class suffer, my guy suffer, and why would he do this now? Does that make sense?
It does. I want an example, though.
Okay, so a girl I played with this last weekend, actually, on okay. Sunday, was it? She's playing a bard. She's in the middle of a situation.
The best where class, by the way.
It is a ridiculously fun class. And it was perfect for her. I think she might have been a bard in her past life. And she was in a situation where she, like, her last character was a rogue. Not necessarily an upfront fighter, but definitely a stab you in the eye first kind of character. This character, her particular subclass of bard and everything has to be way more focused on communication. So she's in a situation where she might have just ran around and just stabbed somebody in the back or tried to steal something from them. But this last game, she had to stop and think, like, okay, if I do this, I'm going to get in real big trouble. I can't do that. My character wouldn't do that. She's a bard. She's going to talk her way out of this. And this is one, I didn't push her into this class, but I strongly suggested that she play the bard because I knew she would love it. And she is consistently had those moments playing a bard where she just steals the show for a moment. You know, she just comes up with some wild idea because her bard powers allows her to convince people to do things. She can talk them into these things.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. So you're saying that, like, she was made a better role player by D&D because of her bard powers?
Yeah. Yeah, she had to think outside of her comfort zone, playing a character that's not capable of doing a lot of other things, but can do this one class-related thing that's very mechanically driven well, which is talk people into doing shit.
Okay.
She's a bard of eloquence, which is very much the talk people into doing shit bard.
So you are putting out there then that the class based party based system makes people better role players because of the restrictions, not necessarily the other way around.
Yeah, I'd say it's the restrictions that do it. It forces them to strategize and then role play that strategy out because they can't just do whatever they want. They can't just say, well, I'm going to go and do this now. It's like, well, you can't because your character doesn't have that ability or your character only has like a -2 modifier and strength or whatever. Hmm. So think about it. What would a wizard do? What would a bard do? Not what would a barbarian do?
Interesting. Interesting. I think it's your turn to make a point. I'm not sure.
I think I just made my point.
Well, that is a good point. I will concede that is a good point. I would still say that the amount of work you put into D&D is not equal to the amount you get out. And also, there are a couple other things I don't like, which is the leveling and power gains. It's just, a nightmare in that game. You get so big so fast, it gets hard to manage the characters. You get to do stuff that's just insane. Your powers go off the rails pretty fast, from my point of view. I feel that it would be very hard in D&D to play a common man character. I feel it would be very hard in D&D to play just an average pickpocket or just an average soldier. I think at the end of the day, you're going to end up three levels in, you know, cleaving six guys or whatever. That's a little bit of a problem for me, too. I think it's become this thing where it lends itself more to godlike characters, and also characters that, again, you have this power creep in it that eventually shuts down your character anyway.
I will concede that point to you. Yeah, it does. It's set up for epic play.
Yeah.
It's not set up for nuance. It's not set up super well for like a highly political intrigue game system. And so that does lose some of its versatility. You can play those types of games, but
they're harder. And I think again, that lends itself to the lack of versatility, which is probably my biggest problem with this game, and that's really the crux of my argument, the crux of the thing that I'm trying to get forward, is the fact that for the amount of work, effort, and money you put into D&D, the only thing you're getting out is party-based, strategic combat gameplay. Like, that's what you're getting out. It doesn't really lend yourself to the common man game. It doesn't really lend yourself to solo play. It doesn't really lend itself to political play. It doesn't lend itself to all these interesting different styles, whereas there are so many other systems that you can do any of that in without any problem whatsoever. And also lend themselves to the epic style confrontations. I mean, I conceded the point that, okay, maybe the class-based thing can get some interesting role-playing situations out of it. I will say that if I was playing D&D and I was stuck in a class, it would definitely make me have to have more interesting choices, even though they were railroaded almost. So I kind of concede that point. I think, though, again, the biggest problem with D&D is the lack of versatility that it puts forward. And really, I think that's the crux of everything I'm trying to put down, is you just don't get out what you put in.
Okay, yeah. So I honestly, I can't really argue that point exactly. Like, I do concede you're right. You can do all of everything with D&D, but that's because you're a homebrewer and you're making new rules. You're not really playing D&D at that point. You're making D&D as a base, and then you're homebrewing your own system.
Mm-hmm. Which there like, are... I will say that, if you ever made that point for how good the game is, the homebrew scene for D&D is absolutely fucking phenomenal. People, because that system is so saturated in the public eye, the people out there... just make, and it's got the OGL, there's so much shit out there that you could probably find an addition to create what you want out of it.
There's something for everything out there.
Yeah. I'm kind of making your point for you on that one, but I still think if we're talking about the core gameplay though, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. For the core gameplay, I can agree with you on that point that it does. If you're really looking at the rules and playing it rules as written, it does have those sort of limitations as far as the diversity of games. I do agree with that. For me, I don't see that so much as a bad thing. I just see that as a this game thing. Mm. Now, you made a good point. You made a point, though, that it's not essentially not worth the money. Like, it's a huge stack of rules and all of this other stuff for not a lot of versatility, not being able to play a bunch of different types of styles all within one pack, a huge time sink, you know, which it is. I mean, I admit it 100% is, to just learn the game.
Yep.
And I get that. I totally get that. Though all those rules and all of those systems... though they don't necessarily lend themselves to a lot of versatility, I still think they have a lot of merit and fun because of it's almost like the lack of versatility makes you, I feel like it pushes you a little bit harder. To like I said, strategize, think outside of the box. And I think that's one of the things that this game does really well, is forcing people to strategize. But now we're kind of going back in circles. So I think we've come to the point where we must move on.
Okay. All right. I mean, I got another, a completely different way to attack it if you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's,
I have so many ways to attack it. You have no idea. Another thing that I don't love about D&D, that I love about maybe some other games, is have you ever been playing D&D and felt like you're actually in a sword fight? Have you ever been in D&D and felt like you're even really fighting a monster? It doesn't, like, the system is so, like, back and forth and tradey punchies. Unless you've got a game master who's really spelling it out for you, and more props to any game masters who do that. Every time I've ever played D&D, it really feels like I'm running up to something, and then I'm literally, like, trading blows with it until one of us croaks. And that sucks. I don't like that. I want to feel the epic battle of a fight. I mean, the other thing that sucks about D&D, I like set pieces. I love set pieces. I don't want just a fight. I want a fight on top of a train that's on fire, that's about to go over a cliff edge into a fucking chasm. That's a fucking cool scene to have in your head. You can't do that shit in D&D because everything's so fucking slow and takes so long. Battles are like 2 to 4 hours. I can't do that. You know, then you compound the fact with the amount of time that game takes to play. We have an actual play stream for anybody out there. We have a couple of them. One is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, once a month. I know, stealth plugs. The other is Astral Drive, using my own system. So one we use Platinum, one we use my own system. Both of those streams are two-hour sessions. Two-hour sessions. Could you imagine getting anything that we get done in those sessions in 2 hours in D&D? It wouldn't fucking happen. It's not even in the realm of possibility that it would happen. We would get maybe a half an hour of material out of that in this. Another thing. I do a series of reviews, and I'm about to shut up because it's definitely your turn, but I'm winding down. I do a series of reviews on my show for video games called Snap Judgment Reviews. The point of these reviews is because every reviewer out there for video games has to get a 100% or get through the entire storyline or all of this stuff, so they do these in-depth reviews. And sometimes they forget to look at it from the point of view of a guy who doesn't have a fucking 80 hours to get to the good part of Starfield. Sometimes it's a guy who's maybe about to turn 42, who has a kid, who runs like 3 different jobs, who doesn't have a ton of fucking time to do stuff, and maybe has an hour to do something.
That's very on the nose there.
Yeah, I was pointing at myself the entire time. I know you can't see me. So D&D is not for that guy. D&D is just, you have to barter off a fucking day to play D&D. And it's the same from the game mastering standpoint. I have said repeatedly, game mastering is jazz, not rock and roll. You've got to improvise. But D&D, you got to have it all fucking spelled out, or you don't know what's going on, because somebody's going to hit a wall and you're going to need to know the tensile strength of the wall. It's insanity. And like, yeah, I'm a little bit on a rant. But right now, what I'm saying is, like, it doesn't feel like the thing that you're doing. You want this, like, fast, quick, snappy sword fight that feels like parry, riposte, parry, thrust, parry, lunge, riposte, parry. Like, you want that. You don't get it from D&D. You get two guys hitting each other with a sword until one of them falls over dead. And that's not fun. It's not fun. I've never been in a fight scene. And I want everybody to know out there, I have played D&D. I have not played 5th edition, but I have played 3rd edition. And I have played Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. And I am actually old enough to have played the original Dungeons & Dragons. I have never, in any of those experiences, felt cool or excited to be in a battle. In fact, most of the time, I was just sitting there waiting for it to be over so that we could move forward in the storyline.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, I got hot on that one.
No. I got you. This you've made this point several times, and that's something I can definitely understand what you're saying. So I actually agree with you and disagree with you at the same time.
Okay.
And here's the thing. It's what you're saying is very easy to be very, very true. And it's a lot harder to some degrees in some ways for it not to be true, but it cannot be true. And here's why. No, it doesn't. It oftentimes doesn't always feel like necessarily a sword fight. There are two things that need to happen in order for that to feel more like a sword fight. Your players have to really know their characters and really know the rules. Your DM has to make it happen. It has to be very cinematic in its telling. And I'll give you two examples of this from my experience.
Okay.
I've gotten better as a DM, so I've learned through the years of trial and error and trying to make things more exciting that explaining what's going on in an enthusiastic way changes the entire environment at the table. This last game has a perfect example of that. We had a character go into a fighting pit, okay? They're about to go one-on-one with another guy. The other two characters that are in that room are betting against their comrade, against the other player. And so they see this guy come in, and I'm like, they see my eyes, and they're like, this guy's big. He is massive. And so these two characters, this barbarian and this big, massive NPC, start wailing on each other. And every time I start playing the theme song to Phantom Menace, okay, when this starts in the background. And they're just going at it. And he's a barbarian, so it's fast. His rules are easy. He's not even an experienced player. This is his first time playing, maybe his third session ever. But it's a barbarian. It's easy to do. He's just hitting him with the axe. He misses. He dodges. He takes it, but he takes it really well because he's a barbarian, is raging through it. And then, like, after the music ended, I went into metal music because it was just bloody. I just put metal instrumental music on in the background, and they're just whacking at each other. I'm getting super excited. And pretty soon, the two other characters that were betting against him started rooting for him. Nice. They knew they were going to lose money. They knew their characters were going to lose money, but the players got so excited that they wanted him to win. They were like, oh, it's so close. And he won, like, just by a margin. He happened to hit a nat 20 right when he needed it, and the table erupted. Everybody was super excited. But that's at the table where everybody really knows their shit. If the players don't know their shit, if they're waiting and they're looking up their rules as they're trying to strategize because they don't really know their characters really well, holy crap, that fight's going to take forever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how much cinematic crap you put in there. And as we've said, D&D is a rules effing heavy game.
Yes.
So it's not easy to know all of your rules. It's not easy. You know, it takes time. It takes energy. It takes a little bit of homework from everybody. And the DM even has it worse because he not only has to know his rules, he has to know his players' rules. Because he needs to know what to throw at them to make that, to give them an opportunity to have that cinematic moment. So you can have it done. You can make a very fast fight scene with super energy. It's just going to take a lot more work than in games like single mod, you know. And that is where I say, you know, single mod does have a lot more strengths in that aspect. I would say single mod is a perfect game to start people off on because it has a lot of flexibility in its system.
People are going to think we engineered this for me to, I mean, as an advertisement for my game.
I mean, we did it, and I'm not getting paid for this, guys. This is just like, I mean, I really like this game.
Nobody's getting paid for this, guys. yeah. No, nobody's getting money here.
And it is so much easier to go into that fast fight scene that you're talking about in single mod because the combat system's way more, you know, fast like that. It's more just energized. It's less tactical. It's less focused on like a stack of rules that you have to think about ahead of time.
It's on the game master and the player really to make the battle cinematic, to make it feel like a sword fight.
You're not going to get that from typically from a first time player unless they're playing a really easy character, like a barbarian or maybe a fighter. You're sure as shit not going to get that out of like a warlock or a wizard or something right. like that. That's going to be right. harder. Advanced players though can totally make cinematic moments happen. And one other, I'll stop there.
Actually, I would concede that point to you. That's a good point. I think every game requires a game master and a player to really make the moment interesting. I think single mod's very snappy, and it's a lot easier for people to make cinematic moments because it's just a roll plus a stat plus a skill. But I think that you do need a good game master after you say that. I think that's a good counterpoint, honestly. We are at 50 minutes, though. How do you want to wrap this thing up?
Oh, well, maybe with the 2B continued. I feel like we've both had really good points. I don't think either one of us convinced the other.
No, but, definitely
you know,
not.
Like I said at the beginning of this, we're still buds. We love games. We love games. And we love talking about games, and I think that was why this was kind of like, I was looking forward to doing this show with you because this is my favorite thing to do, TTRPG. You know?
That's the thing. I love talking about this. I love talking about the concepts behind TTRPGs as well. And this has been really fun. And yes, we are definitely friends. There's nothing that's going to stop that. No debate on D&D is going to change that. I will say, I will say maybe you won because I'm slightly more likely to try D&D now than I was before this conversation. So I would give you that. And I'm sure you're less likely to put it down than you were before. So I don't think I accomplished it. Although I think it's harder. It's harder to prove a negative, I suppose.
That's true. I would say, though, that I also had like lots of moments where I conceded various points to you.
You conceded too much, man. You conceded too much. Like, if people were scoring this as a debate, like, you were just like, I could see that point. I could see that point. I see what you're saying. I'm like, no, you gotta fight me.
There's a lot of nuance, is the thing.
It was like a boxing match where you were trying to hug me the whole time.
it's just so much nuance. I think really, for me, what it really comes down to is D&D is a good game for some and not for others.
I think that can be said about all RPGs too. I mean, in fairness, I do want to sum up by saying I don't have any hate for people who play D&D or enjoy D&D. I don't. I have played a lot of systems in 42 years of life, both homebrewed and non-homebrewed. And of the systems that I have played, D&D is the one that I like the least. And also, I think a lot of my rage comes from what it does to TTRPGs as a whole, whether it means to or not, because it puts itself front and center. So people end up with it before they ever look at any other game. And that drives me fucking nuts. Because anybody who sits down at a D&D table and thinks that's what's role-playing, it might be. But at the same time, it really might not be. You know what I mean? It's a very, very straightforward, very, very simple. I mean, the game isn't simple, but it's doing one thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, it's the tip of the iceberg for RPGs, but D&D louts itself as the whole enchilada. You know what I mean? And that's one of the things that's where all my ire comes from. Not necessarily the people who play it or enjoy it. I mean, I think if you like a system, play the system. I think my biggest problem with D&D is what it advertises is not what it gives you, in any way, shape, or form. And it also doesn't tell you that there's other stuff out there. So, like, there's for a new player, like I said, the new non-nerd player who's just, like, saw Matt Mercer or Vox Machina and was like, oh, I want to try this D&D thing. They're going to go right to the store. They're going to buy the player's handbook. That's going to be the first experience for them. And it might be the last experience for them. And I don't want that. I want them to play all sorts of things, like Palladium and fucking DreamPod 6 and White Wolf and my system and every other system, you know, Fate. And I think that, you know, in closing, that's my biggest problem with D&D. I don't have anything against people who play it or love it. So pitchforks can be up for the other stuff, but...
I think for my closing thoughts today, I mean, I do see what you're saying as far as D&D's reputation being so heavy that it draws people to a game that isn't necessarily the best game for a first-time TTRPG enthusiast. There are other games out there. I'm a TTRPG enthusiast. I will say this one thing, though. I remember, and Zach, I know you're going to remember this, too. Back in the day, there was another nerd division that was eventually sealed up, I think. I don't think it's so much of a thing today. And that was Star Wars versus Star Trek. I don't know if you were either a Trekkie or you were a Star Wars fan.
So stupid.
I know. It was the thing. But there was some pretty heated, like nerd fights over this shit.
Oh, you know what's sad, Wiz? Is you just saying that makes me want to be like, Trek's the best! Like, it's still ingrained in me, honestly.
And that's the thing. And that, you know what? That's so funny because I was on the Star Wars camp.
I don't even think they're in the same genre. Like now, like after becoming older, like I'm like, Star Trek is pure science fiction. It is straight up like, this is the future, a look at the future. Whereas you have Star Wars, none of that shit could actually happen. It's like science fantasy. And like, it's insane to me. It's absolutely insane to me. It would be like somebody being like, which is better, Lord of the Rings or like the King Arthur movie, you know, or not even the King Arthur movie, but like some sort of like Kingdom Come or some sort of actual medieval, like real story. Like they're not even in the same book. Like one of them's got fucking dwarves. The other one's fighting the plague. That's insane. Like it's the same with Star Wars and Star Trek to me. Like they're not even like now that I'm older, I'm like, these aren't even in the same area. They don't even belong being breathed by. Not only that, one was TV, one was movies. Like, Star Trek had some movies, but let's face it, it was TV. Star Wars has some TV shows now, but it was movies. How did they end up butting heads so hard? I have no idea.
But they did.
I think this
debate, though, isn't quite a one-to-one analysis. I'll admit that. My metaphor isn't perfect. But I do feel there has been a debate between D&D and TTRPG, the rest of TTRPG, for a very long time. And we're not going to settle that debate today, but maybe one day.
No, it was a good conversation. I do enjoy the conversation. That's for sure. I would love it if D&D became more versatile too. Like that would be like, that'd be my hope in the world. Wouldn't even be that like make some systems for talking to people. Make some systems for like the everyman. You know, and I'm sure that there are homebrews out there that are like that. I mean, like core D&D, like D&D 6th edition, like make it so that you could do some of that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would be really cool.
They're not doing that.
No, I know they're not doing that.
I know.
I'm very aware they're not doing that. If I thought for a second they were actually doing that, I probably wouldn't have done this debate.
I know.
That would be something I like. I love when a system... You want a 42-year-old dad who doesn't have a lot of time to get into your system, make it something he can play for the rest of his fucking life and never have to play another one, whereas D&D is not that. If I want to play something other than what D&D is offering, I gotta go somewhere else, period.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I'm going to stop counterpointing. I feel like I'm still debating.
I think we've come to the end of this one. Maybe we'll put this as a to be continued. A new point for next time, and we'll get a guest speaker in here. Who knows? We'll see what one day will bring.
Get another D&D person on, and then I'll just be outnumbered.
Maybe somebody who's never played before either, like just like completely ignorant to TTRPGs and D&D. They can be our moderator.
Do you want to do? That would be good.
Just sitting in the corner being like, You guys are nerds.
Yeah. Yeah, the decider are you more or less likely to play TNT now?
Yeah.
All right, well, you want to wrap it up, man?
Yeah, well, I think that was everything. As always, you know, this was a lot of fun. Coming up soon on this YouTube channel as well as on the wizardsrespite.com, you'll be able to see this drop on, what date was that? It was going to be Friday, as always.
This will be
29th,
yeah.
So with this, right before that, we would have just aired two more shows, or one more show, right? One more this week.
We have Astro Drive this week. We are going to be missing Brian as a member, but we're going to focus on you and Philbilly and your infiltration into the castle.
Right.
Or lack thereof.
And if you're listening to this, that means one is already up and ready for you to watch.
Yeah.
Jump on there, check it out. You can check it out at thewizardsrespite.com. You can also check it out at Old Man Gaming, the YouTube channel. Zach, what do you have anything to close out with?
Well, yeah. We also are doing our next TMNT and Other Strangeness actual play, The Stump Gang, The Long Road. I know a lot of colons, but that's the campaign name. That next one will be October 5th. That last session, I think, was one of our best sessions ever. We added Jackie Rakes into the mix, so we got all three of us. It's going to be, three plus me. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got to continue the story. Stuff's going to get a little bit real and emotional next time, so be prepared for that. And then the other thing I just kind of wanted to announce is, because I think we have a date, so we're okay to announce it now, but me and Wizard's next one-on-one, one-off indie RPG stream is going to be on the 12th, correct?
Yes, that's what I got it down for, 12th of October.
And that's going to be, we're going to be playing Sunfish Sitting There, and it is going to be, Wizard is going to be game mastering, myself, and we're actually going to get my podcast co-host, Neil, a.k.a. Tiny Wizard, and also his lovely wife and member of The Lasso 3. We play video games on this channel all the time together. They're going to be doing the TTRPG side this time, so they're going to be joining me as players, and Wiz is going to game master probably a one-off. We'll see if we have to do two, but hopefully just a one-off of Sunfish Sitting There, which I'm really excited for. That'll be the Thursday following our next TMNT stream.
Yes, perfect. All right, I think we got it for tonight. So then everybody out there, just keep rolling them dice and have some fun.
Yes.